Spirit, we just ask for you to enter into our life experience, wherever that is. And Father, we just ask that you would help us understand the concept, the power, the resource of grace, Lord. Father, I thank you that we don't have to bring anything to the table today other than an openness and a willing heart, that grace is so powerful, grace is so huge, grace is so big that it does everything for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Father, teach us how to live this life. Teach us how to be stewards of what you've given us. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to connect. Teach us how to be in community. Father, teach us how to see the world as you see it. And Father, we understand and perceive that we can't do that in a microwave form, that this is a lifestyle that you're teaching us. These are tools you're teaching us to go and live and learn how to be who you created us to be. And so God, give us patience and help us to not so much look at immediate outcomes in our life as much as we look at inward processes that are being restored and transformation that's occurring and seeing the world different and filtering the world different. And so we want to honor you and we want to honor your name. And I want to honor all the people involved, people that came here and were willing to sacrifice their walking shoes to just come into the room today, and people that are on the webinar that are willing to check in. They're willing to show up. They're willing to say, yeah, I'm going to be part of. I just pray that you would bless them and keep them in perfect peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it's pretty wild because honestly, I have not done this class for a couple years. It just didn't work out. My life last year, I was in a very different place. I'm going to be sharing some of that. God, I really believe I had a surgery that took place in my heart yesterday. Yesterday too. I did yesterday. Last year, I'm gonna be talking a little bit about that. One of the things we're really gonna be looking at is an area called self-protection. I don't know if anyone can relate to self-protection, and it's one of the toughest things to get rid of. I'm telling you, it is one of the hardest areas to get rid of, to realize how we self-protect, how we put up guards, and how we're still afraid to relate and be connected with other people. I do believe that that is the hardest barrier to overcome. I really do, with all my heart. I believe that that is one of the hardest barriers to overcome, that we have guards and protective systems in our hearts that we just can't comprehend. At the same time, we want to be sure that as we learn to embrace some of these principles, that we're not still carrying around residue of the wounds, of the damage, of the hurt, of the brokenness, that we're not still harboring that. And so we are gonna still continue to work through some healing issues that maybe couldn't be fully embraced before. And I know, I have people that come through the first workshop. They're like, I'm healed, I'm good, I'm great. I'm like, man, I'm glad for you because I'm not. It didn't work that way for me. It's been a moment-to-moment process. And I look, there are seasons. I look back. I'm in a season right now. I'm just in awe of how God orchestrated something so personal and so detailed in my life to get at something that I mean, I've been teaching this, y'all. I've been teaching this for a long time. And still, there was something really significantly that was holding me back from being relationally free. I would say, I'm not saying I wasn't free in him. I was free in him. Did you know that you can be free in him and still not be free relationally? Uh-huh. Crazy. Crazy. We think it's all Jesus as long as we get this right. And you know, the first 3, 4, 5 years of my Christian experience, I was so into this that I was just like, y'all stay away from me. I don't want, and that is not how we are called to do life. But we do it that way because there's something going on the inside that causes us to do it that way, okay? I just wanna call out some people here really quick. Stacy she's going to be hosting the webinar. So those of you on the webinar, you are actually not working with Stephanie, you're working with Stacy. Hi, Stacy. LaShawn is going to be one of our group leaders. And me and LaShawn, we've been on this journey together. This girl actually knows me. She really knows me. She knows the real Stephanie. And hopefully I'm not too different here than I am out there. But she knows all the kind of the not so pretty stuff that comes up too. So We call that inner court, right? That's, yeah, we call that inner court. We're going to be talking about that. So where have we been? And you know what? I don't know about the rest of you, but self-sufficiency was the way I existed, surviving, getting by, finding a way to always come to the scene of whatever was going on and to just kind of just say, I can do it. Okay. And then when I couldn't do it, being angry, being resentful at what people weren't able to, perform in my life. And then that bit of bitterness, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Very easily, the root of offense, once that takes root, it's the beginning of a downward spiral. Okay. And so we're going to need to be willing to leave behind that lifestyle of self-sufficiency. And I'm just going to tell you that that's no easy game. That is not an easy thing to release and become willing to live life under God's terms and God's empowerment. There's so much that encompasses that. It's one thing to write and to understand and to read a process and to have it in the words. It's something altogether to allow it to be maneuvered into your actual experience. They are two separate things. We do need to understand something. It needs to get brought to the light, but how it actually plays out in our life is altogether different. And the people that we work with here, I mean, typically, especially the people that we counsel, the people that are in our treatment center, I mean, you can't just go, oh, it's going to be all fine. We're just going to all just learn about Jesus' love, and we're just going to all kind of la la la, and we're going to go home, and it's going to be warm fuzzies. Okay? No. It's dirty. It's messy. It's broken. It's hurtful. It's painful. The guts are coming out on the table. Can I just say it? The whole thing is not necessarily going to be something that we create that's just this beautiful floral fragrance in our life, and we're just going to walk around, with sunshine and roses. It might not look like that initially. I want you to get the mindset of a construction site, that when God constructs, he is going to do some breaking, and then he's going to do some foundation building. And then he's going to start building the infrastructure. And then when all that infrastructure is built and everything, then he starts decorating it. And then we could kind of get the pretty stuff in our life and start seeing the fruits. But there is a process. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week as far as getting you in line with the chapter one and kind of what it's going to do. I am all about structure and processes. They're great, they're fine. I just want to give you the freedom to understand that processes and formalities should not dictate this what we're going to do. Okay? That what we're going to do is invite the Spirit of God into every class, each of us individually, and let him deal with something. We are going to put transactions on the line. I'm going to give you transactions every class. Now, we can try to transact that right here in prayer together. We can talk about it. Those transactions, whatever's put on the line, are also something that you will work out throughout the week. Do I want to make that transaction? What am I talking about, a transaction? What am I talking about? What is a transaction? Transaction is we give and we get. We give and we get. That is what this whole process is about. It's an exchange. We're going to give, we're going to get. Now, that sounds pretty simple. Except that typically our whole system of giving and getting has been extremely flipped upside down. And so giving and getting is something that, yeah, we're going to need to rely on relationship with Jesus in order to do that. But now we're going to be asked as we move through this to begin to orchestrate that in relationship with other people too, to transact with the people that hurt us, to transact. And I don't mean that you're going to do that in flesh and blood. You're going to go physically over to them and talk to them. I'm not necessarily saying, some of you might, but we're going to have to make transactions. And I just want to say that God's timing is personal. And I made just, it was just amazing that this trip even came up and that I was even able to go. And I just made a trip back to the little town where I grew up, and I brought my two girls with. I couldn't bring my husband. It just wasn't, we weren't able to do that, but I was able to bring my two girls. And this is the place really where, you know, we're going to talk a lot about being wounded as a child. This is the place where, I think that's my phone going off. Sorry about that. this is the place, obviously don't have my ringer off. Don't follow my lead. This is, but when we're children, that is really the place where we're wounded the most. And I've shared that. Some of you in here I know, and I've shared this with some people, but I don't really have words to describe what that experience was like. It was like God brushed and painted something fresh over it. And I'm not talking about denial. He recreated that whole scene, because when I looked at it and when I interacted and when I saw it, I was no longer a broken little girl that was hurting. I was healed. I was whole. It was fresh. It was new. And every single place of brokenness that had represented had been conquered by grace. Everything. And when something gets conquered, like what we're going to talk about, one of the things, if you're like, do I have grace or don't I? Let me tell you, when you're conquered by God's grace, when you get overwhelmed, and we're going to be kind of meticulously going through this, you will see the world as He sees it, but you will have love and kindness and compassion towards the very people you used to blame and hate. I'm not talking about someone who's an active perpetrator either. I mean, that's a little bit of a different dynamic, okay? And I'm going to talk to you about that. But the very places that were hurt the most are the places, come on in, are the places where God's grace will be showcased like a big fat trophy, okay? And the evidence of that will not be like, I got it together now. Nobody's messing with me. And you know, I got my life together and you guys are there and I'm here. Okay? That is not grace. That's something else. It's a whole nother problem. When grace conquers you, grace says, I reign. I rule. I overcame. I can overcome. And when grace starts to touch our lives, we will live in a state of I can't, and we will live in a state of awe that God can. Okay, I know faith in the moments of crisis, in the moments of overwhelming situations, in the moments of betrayal, in the deepest moments of hurt and pain. I'm not saying that you're supposed to go like, oh, God can. Okay. You are going to have to learn to sacrifice praise and to sacrifice faith in moments when everything in your circumstances scream out and tell you that God can't do it and that God is not capable and that God does not love you. As you do that, and as faith becomes activated in your life, as that environment is established where He can come and He can break through and He can redeem something that you said was not redeemable, and you think it was supposed to be redeemed by looking over there and looking at that. But God says, no, I'm going to redeem it by putting grace on it. I'm going to redeem it by pouring something into you that will transform you. Not so much necessarily transform the person that's been involved. And it will be beautiful. It'll be glorious. It'll make you want and be grateful for every horrible circumstance that you ever had. We have got to be willing to see that mindset, and it is not a human mindset. It is not. Every single thing we see and are exposed to in this culture contradicts that. There is no tangible evidence in the culture we live in that even God is framed that way. Most of our Christianity, He's not framed that way. If you do this, He will do this. If you do, okay? I challenge you to invite Him in. That's your transaction today. I challenge you to let grace have its way in your life. What will it look like in your life? You know what? I don't know. I honestly, I don't know what it will do. I there are people in this room that, and you know, I'm not going to call anyone out individually, that circumstances did not go the way we had prayed for them to go. We were waiting for God to do something, and that is not what happened. But let me tell you, and let me ask you, and let me put it on the line, can grace deal with that? I think you might want to grab some chairs. Come on in, guys. Yeah, someone's beeping away at me. I'm getting messaged left and right here. Sorry, guys. Can he do that? It depends on what you're looking for, guys. If you're looking for him to fix it right now, to fix the circumstance, to fix the relationship, to somehow bring and usher into in the immediate circumstances some kind of substantial change. If you're in a crisis situation, you might need an immediate change. But that's not what this process is after. That's why I sometimes tell people in crisis that this won't necessarily be a good fit. And the reason why I say that is because that's not, we're not looking, we're not managing circumstances in this process. We're looking to maneuver and create a whole different way of doing life. Is that scary? Well, it's gonna totally force you out of your comfort, just kind of like, you know, parking four blocks down the street did. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. But it is. It's on, you know, it shakes up our foundation. What we've been hanging on to, though, guys, is the question. And what we're jumping out of and what we're jumping into is the direction. That's the direction. I feel deeply burdened. They just keep coming in. I'm telling you, what I thought I was gonna have like three or four in here. I know, they all came. Can you believe it? I know. It's grab a chair, find a spot. Maybe I'll break the tables down next week. I didn't do it this week, so some of my staff is on here. They've been witnessing this whole saga all day yesterday. So yes, guys, they showed up. So one of the things we're gonna be looking at is how to move forward. I think a lot of you have dealt with strongholds in your life. A lot of you are released from the deceitfulness of codependence. You've seen it, you can understand it, you can comprehend it. So we're not gonna so much go into definitional aspects of codependence like we did early in the first phase. We're going to take this to a deeper level. We're going to be looking at some of the deeper areas of our lives and hearts. And I'll tell you the truth, honestly, and I knew this when I wrote the book, honestly, not everyone will be ready for this. And I'm not saying in this room, I mean in the general crowd of people that are in CODA. Not everyone, and some people will never be ready for it. And I just want to be really honest with you. Why is that? Because some people just don't ever want to move into those deeper waters. They just don't. And just would rather just stay comfortable. I want to challenge you that I know it will shake up your world. I know it will, but the discomfort that God brings in switching your foundations and in saying, you know what, you were doing it like this, but I want to teach you how to do this. It has such extravagant, overwhelming benefit. And what is the benefit? Is it the relationship that, you know, the husband gets fixed, the wife gets fixed, the, you know, the kids are great, you know, the dog is great, everyone's great, my job is great, life is great. Guess what? Grace doesn't show up in greatness. Grace shows up in brokenness. Grace shows up in dirt. Grace shows up in the deepest woundedness. Grace shows up in an environment where nothing else can resolve it. And if it doesn't show up, you are going down. You want to bring that to the table. That's what you want to bring to the table in this process. Not, I've got all this pretty stuff in my life now. How do I make God use me? Because I'm so got it all together. You know what? For a long time, I'm not saying anyone in here thinks that. For a long time, I honestly thought that. I remember early in my Christianity, and I did have a breakthrough. I did, and I experienced the presence of God, and I knew what Holy Spirit felt like, and I knew what peace said. That was like awesome. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to be used by you, God. And then it was like, Oh man, all these other people are so messed up. They don't have what I have. You know? I must be special. Well, I mean, which of course I am, and so are you. But, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, I have been through some really strange circumstances, just not knowing, just in ignorance, just not understanding, which is one of the reasons why I want to do this. One of the things that God has asked of me this past year, and this has just been amazing, I don't have words to describe it, is that I have actually reconnected with major portions of people in my past. Almost every single phase of my life, I couldn't make a trip down to North Dakota, and I don't remember those people because they were only like two or three. I mean, I was only, they weren't two or three. I was two or three when I lived there. So I haven't made it there, but I went to, I connected. In fact, some of the people I missed when I took my trip back to Wisconsin, he brought them here. He brought them here. I have made actual connection with people at all these different phases of my life. And without the shame, without the self-protection, without the how do I look, what do they think of me, and with just a genuine interest in just being, I am so grateful that you were in my life. Thank you so much for, it was just, it's so awesome to see you. It's so wonderful to be able to participate with you in this right now without any residue. Okay. That, the gift of that, and I'm going to talk for a minute here about attachment disorder, totally not in my notes, but there's nothing new to that. I want to talk to you a little bit about a word called attachment disorder. Did anyone ever hear of that before? Okay. The secular world uses this label. And it's really interesting because when I first moved out here, I know this is scandalous, but you know, we don't have shame in here. I know this is scandalous, but the first time I moved out here, I went to the institute to start school, and my husband was teaching the class. Super scandalous, okay? Didn't know he was my husband, of course. And he was teaching about attachment disorder. Lo and behold, that was my first Orange County experience I had, was a class on attachment disorder. I just thought I would just give you that little tidbit of information. It makes it a little more exciting. anyway, it's something that I've always known, and in the counseling room, I deal with it all the time. But I couldn't really grasp the enormity of this until I went through what I just went through this past year. And let me explain what I mean, because most of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. When you have a life, especially from a young child, where you've had to live from crisis to crisis, from what your crisis might be abandonment, your crisis might be abuse, your crisis might be neglect, your crisis could be all different sorts of things, where life was not safe, and where in your normal lifestyle, you could not grow and you could not inhabit the blessing of that moment because there was something happening that made it unsafe. You're crouching, you're hiding, you're protecting. And in that moment, you can't grow. And in that moment, whatever age you're at, three, four, five, six, seven, you are learning to develop a pattern of checking out. For me, my pattern of checking out meant that I went from trying to deal with this to I don't want to be here anymore, to I'm going to jump to the next thing, to I don't know how to deal with this, I don't want to be here anymore, I'm going to jump to the next thing. This was a pa I don't know if anyone can relate to that. This was a major pattern in my life. Pretty much everyone I've worked with in the counseling room, this is a pattern of their life. So instead of, and this is the illustration I use because it helps really, it does help. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, each of them have a curriculum. Each of them have an object lesson, something that you're supposed to acquire in the intellect in those processes. Okay, but they are also supposed to be seasons in your life where you acquire other skills, relational skills, where you're able to interact, you're able to have a relationship with self, with God, with each other. If that first, second, third, fourth grader checked out in the intellectual sense and crouched under a desk and never participated in anything because there was crisis going on, there was fear going on, they didn't feel that they could. As they moved from one grade to the next, they never acquired the skills that were necessary to send them to the next place. Are you guys following me? Okay. And so life becomes one mode of survival to another mode of survival, using what I can just to get by instead of going through a process of natural growth. You know what? I just want to encourage you. We're going to actually kind of talk about that in a chapter in here. I want you to understand that some of this is going to be about God teaching you how to grow up. I hope you're not offended by that. But also, what I believe he wants to do is he wants to, in some way, merge those life experiences together. And wholeness means that my first, second, third, fourth grade experience can now be touched by him, can now be validated by him. He can now pull out and give me what I didn't get in those circumstances. And he can bring her back to me where I am no longer running away from my kindergarten, my first grade, my second grade, my third grade. And those experiences are something I just want to push back. And that whole, I just started over, I have a new life. You know, I pulled that one for the longest time. I got a new life. I mean, I'm talking a long time. I won't tell you how long, but a long time. I got a new life. That life doesn't matter. They probably all think I'm crazy over there anyway. No, you know what? That life does matter. That was me. Did God change me? Yes, he did. But you know what? I have to come with me because that was me. God will not dishonor and just invalidate your experiences. Quite the contrary. He wants to validate those things and he wants to go right there. He wants to go right there. And how does it merge together? You know what? I don't get it. And I'm not going to try to talk like weird language or anything. I don't understand. All I can tell you is that he does it. And that when you become, we hear the word whole person. And do you know how many people use that word? And the New Age, they've like tried to strap themselves on to really what are Christian principles. So they use that a lot. So anytime you hear the word wholeness, you're like, ooh, you know, they're talking some. But to be a whole person means I'm not fragmented anymore. I'm not going from one. I don't have all these different crises and I'm all these different. I felt like I was like 10 people. Can anyone relate? It was like I was over here and I was this person. I was over here and I was this person. Over here, I was this person. It's like, oh my gosh. And then when they run into each other, the two different lives. That happened. Oh no, that was with the, no, that wasn't, that happened. I was with Sean, but you were yesterday. I was with one of my friends. And I should tell you, but I'm going to anyway. It's funny. And so we're talking. We're just talking about what God's doing in our life. And I'm kind of explaining this. And the ex's best friend walked in to Starbucks. Like, really? So I'm talking about two different realities colliding there at the same time. But when grace can conquer that, it doesn't really matter. I don't really care what he was exposed to. Do you understand what I mean? Because that's just been integrated into part of who I am right now. And that makes grace all the more. You know, he saw just a tiny bit of dysfunction there. I won't give you all details, but you know what? I am not standing here because I'm some intellectual genius and I'm just so above all you guys. I'm here because I'm probably as broken as anyone, but the God that I know and the God that I served is actually real. Did you ever feel that way? Can anyone relate to that? Did you ever go and have to deal with an ex or have to deal with a friend that you lost touch with, or you have to deal with a part of your life and you're just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go there. Well, what if when you went there, it was like all cool and good? You're like, I'm so glad to have this opportunity to see this person. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be good? You guys are looking at me like I'm absolutely out of my mind. Okay, you're on it. Okay, so attachment disorder is this. Okay, I'm just giving it to you. Attachment disorder happens when we don't know how to properly connect to another human being, and so we use alternative methods to connect. And instead of being in the fulfillment of relationship, we end up dealing with life and relationships through tools of survival. Some people, I couldn't repeat that if you asked me. So I have no idea. Do you think that I just had that already pre-planned? Are you kidding me? I had no definition of, I didn't even know I was going to talk about attachment disorder today. I was talking about it with a friend this week. But, you know, that is, and there's two forms. If you were to go and ask and look it up on the computer and go ask a secular counselor, they would know all about this. There's two forms, and I actually can't remember the technical terms of it. But one is when someone's overly wants to connect, where they're always feeling the void and the disconnect, so they're always trying to fill that up. I know some of us might just kind of relate to that just a little bit. Okay, so I'm always thinking that your love is going to fix me. I'm always thinking that your love is going to change me, and so I'm constantly living under the oppression that I need something from someone else to deal with that disconnect, that lack of satisfaction. And then the other form, and some of you might relate to this, and some of you might have people in your lives that would fit that, would be an avoidant personality, where they just don't want any intimacy, connection at all. Just totally detached from life. Don't want to get close. Don't really want to get to let people in. Don't really want to deal with that whole mess thing called relationships. So I just do them very superficially, and thank you very much. I like my own space most of the time. Okay? Two different ways that we check out. These are deeper relational issues that require deeper levels of healing. You're like, well, aren't we supposed to be building that house that Grace built? Well, these are the very things that have to be broken and transferred into a new way. What's the new way to do relationships? We're going to actually spend quite a bit of time talking about that, and we're going to go into detailed, we're going to call it rooms of your heart. So we're going to look at the room of your parents and the room of your sibling and the room of a spouse or an ex-spouse or an ex-boyfriend. It really depends on how significant relationships are that will determine whether or not you really need to go there and deal with something. So how we're going to do that is I'm going to give you something called tools of redemption. It's kind of just our little tools of redemption. So it's just, if you can visualize it, you're going to be going into those rooms and you're going to say, okay, I checked out, I survived, I recognize these patterns, this is how I function in this, you know, and some of them are really bad. I mean, I have some relationship issues from my past that are so horrifying, I can't even believe it was me kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And so God, we're going to let Jesus storm through those doors if you let him. And he's going to show you the patterns. He's going to show you what took place. He's going to show you the hurt that you experienced, whatever age you were at. And then he's going to give you, if you let him, and I'm hoping you can picture him. It's very effective to get visuals of him in this process. Very effective. More effective than your head can process is to see him. And then to let him take those tools and to let him start maneuvering new ways of managing both the past and the present relationships. Some of them will be completely in your past. They got residue. It needs to be cleaned. Maybe you're like, well, I thought I forgave them. I dealt with that already. Well, maybe if you did, you'll know. Because when you open that door, you'll be like, God's grace reigns in here, and this does not affect me anymore. And when you go in that room and you're like, oh man, I don't want to look at this. Or it makes your heart start racing. Or it's that there's a good chance that there's something there. Does that make sense to you guys? I'm just going off notes. Where are we going? I think I've been talking about that. Let's just go through this list real quick, just so I can stick to something in my notes here. I got to stick to something. So we need to move beyond self-protection and fear. Those are the big ones, guys. I don't know about anyone else, but honestly, I've gone through seasons. I mean, I've been in ministry, and I've been like, I'm good. You know, I'm all healthy. And I'm operating still out of self-protection and fear. I don't want to get hurt, and I don't want to let somebody, you know, into certain areas. And that's going to be, if you have those patterns, that's a pattern you want broken. Okay, you do want it broken. Because you can't truly live in full intimacy as God designed you. Self-protection and intimacy are in complete direct opposition to each other. Okay, we need coping tools that are healthy. And let me tell you what, if you start to get in touch with yourself, if you start to get in touch with God's heart, you start to get in touch with what true connection is, you might look in your life and you go, wow, the people in my life don't have the cap, they don't really, they've never, they didn't offer me this, or they can't offer me this. You might actually have to come and deal with both past and present, a different layer that you had to deal with before, because it's like you're seeing it raw. I don't know if that makes sense, but we're going to talk about right away in chapter 2, we're going to talk about grief. And the reason for that is grief is one of the Holy Spirit grief. Just get that on your forehead. Holy Spirit grief. I'm not talking about grief that says it's horrible, it's terrible, it's helpless, it's hopeless, this is awful. Holy Spirit grief is one of the most powerful tools that you'll ever get for the rest of your life. And actually, can I just venture to say that it's actually the cure for both our past woundedness, and it's also the way that we're going to either check out again or move on in Jesus again. We're going to go that in chapter 2. I'm not going to go into that, but Holy Spirit grief is the process of letting go. It's the process of surrender, and it's the process of inviting him into the very thing that hurts. And it's a dance with him, and it's so important. I can't give it enough words. We need to learn to live empowered and learn how to access our God-given resources. I don't think we know that in our culture. Did you ever? I don't think modern day Christianity, we understand what that's like, because we've taken on like this modern form of Christianity that's just, you know, real, you know, you go to church, you listen to praise and worship. And I'm not against church. I go to church. I love church. I actually want to build up the church. I don't want to tear it down. I'm just talking about a mindset where you just go and, you know, you listen to the word and you leave, and then you go back the next Sunday and you do it all over again. And I mean, isn't, if we have the God, the living God, the God that breathed life into all of us, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that said, let there be light, and there was light. If we have the resurrected power of Jesus Christ living in us, if we are the temple of the Spirit of the living God, shouldn't there be something dramatic about that? Is it just me, or should that not be like a big, huge deal? Let's go for it, guys. And if we have to go out there and do like some kind of street thing or something at the end of this, I'm good with it. I'll do whatever God wants us to do. We're going to turn into revivalists. I don't know. I do think this is revival. This is revival when we get our hearts right with God. You know what? Self-protection wouldn't have caught me dead running around on the street, but I've been really giving it some thought lately. So I've been like, maybe I will, Lord. Maybe I'll just go out there. And anyway, that's a whole different subject. We need to be aware of the spiritual realm. Anyone ever shy away from the spiritual realm? Because I got to get all my beeps and things off here. Okay. Anybody ever just not want to go there? Just an uncomfortable truth that you just would rather just say, you know what, I just let Jesus deal with him. I don't need to deal with him. You might have gone to a church that told you that too. I did. Until I got whacked really hard by another church member. I was like, man, that wasn't just a bad day. I know it's going to be uncomfortable to talk about these things, but I have another picture for you. Fear will keep you from wanting to even delve into the spiritual realm. But if you can instead put the spiritual realm inside its proper perspective, you will gain more confidence and strength in Jesus than you've ever had before. Jesus is a warrior giant. The devil is an ant. Jesus crushed him at the cross. He still got some permission to be able to access this world and to mess with us. But positionally speaking, he is defeated. in Jesus, you are walking around with the giant in your life, and the enemy may have gained legal rights into your life, but one of our main goals in this process is to make sure he has none by the time we're done. I don't think there's any tricky little cute lead thing that you can do with that, but let me tell you what, do I think that we could accomplish that by the end of this workshop? Absolutely, I do. I absolutely do. And once you understand that he has no legal rights in your life and you're walking with your warrior giant Jesus, you do not have to be afraid. I know the concept you guys get. But what if that is your actual reality as you go through the very dark and broken things of this world? Just to not be afraid. I am walking with my warrior Jesus, and I don't have it, but he has it. The enemy does not want you, and I know you've probably heard this come out of lots of pastors' mouth. That's why I don't like saying cliche stuff over and over and over. I've heard it a million times. But the enemy doesn't want you to understand the authority that you have in Jesus. I explain this to my kids. You guys are going to think I'm nuts that I talk spiritual warfare language. But there's an order. There's a pecking order. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, creators of the universe, they're up here. We were created to be right under that. Adam and Eve messed up. They dropped down. So it was God, devil, and I'm talking authority, and I'm talking power here, us. Jesus gave us the cross. We come into relationship with him. We go all the way to the top, higher than we were intended to be. Why? Because the Bible says in Jesus, we are seated in the heavenlies. We actually positioned next to Jesus. We aren't positioned under him. We're positioned. And I'm not teaching all that prosperity. Just name it and claim it in Jesus' name and you'll get the mansion in the sky. I'm sorry. I don't know about the mansion in the sky. How about we let him build a mansion in our hearts where we're truly redeemed and we can live in the abundance of what he called us to be? Because that's going to be a treasure. That'll be a treasure. Just to be who you really are is a treasure. Okay? So, positionally, most of the people I work with initially, and myself included for a very long time, positionally, they are underneath. Jesus, devil, him. They are not able to hear from God because their system is predominantly. Now, does that make them demon possessed? No, of course not. But is there affliction? Is there torment? Absolutely. Because their authority system, the voice of their authority, the voice commanding them what reality is him. We're going to twist that around. And do I think that had some reason to do with our whole parking fiasco? You know what? I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to blame the devil for everything. It's his fault. Do you ever hear the people, they just walk around, it's the devil. It's the devil. No, it was just the parking spot that, it's not always some big, deep, deep, dark thing, but sometimes it is. Okay. So we're going to have to deal with that. We need to learn God's heart. Are they okay on the webinar? Okay. We need to learn God's heart and purpose for relationships. And I kind of talked about all this. How do we learn to love authentically? Well, I can't actually teach that to you. It's going to be a process that God's going to do in your own heart. And you will just learn to do it. You just will learn. I was teaching the intro Dakota class. I haven't even dealt with them. I got to displace them too. I'm not looking forward to that. I was teaching them and I was saying, I was talking to them about this system stuff, trying to introduce the concept to them. They're at a different place. Homeless ministries, one of the slogans that you can say is that you can give them fish or you can teach them how to fish. Okay. Giving someone fish is creating dependency. I know God does want to create dependency, but God, I don't know how to say this. Let me find the words here. Yes, God wants you fully dependent on him. But no, he doesn't want you to live your life in such a way where you're like, God, I don't know what to do. Can I walk across the street? Should I get in my car now? You just kind of go out and you just do it. You just kind of do life in him. And that's creating the system where it automatically happens. You're not like, God, what do you want? And I used to be, I'm sorry. I think we can laugh over some of this stuff. I remember, I mean, I would be in my apartment, I'd be like asking for all these signs, like, I don't know what to do. Show me. You know, make that clock sound extra loud if that's yes. I mean, you guys are like, man, this girl's a whack. Yep. Okay, I mean, I would do stupid things like that because I was just like, I was terrified. So once I did start walking with God, I was like terrified. I was like, am I doing the right thing? You know, he doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to be confident and bold, and you're going through life and you can just kind of do it, and you know who you are, you know where you know you the attacks are coming at you, and you're just like, you know what? I'm just not gonna let that rattle me. I'm just gonna keep going. And that's basically by the end of my day, I'm like, I'm not budging. I am showing up here, and if two people show up, if five, I don't care. I'm coming and I'm not stopping. And sometimes it takes a process to get through that. We can get shaken in circumstances. I'm not saying you're just going to get there right away. But that's what he wants. Yeah, dependent on him, but dependent where he's overtaking you and you and him are one. And you're just naturally going through life with him and it's just naturally playing out and you are just making right choices because you're one with him. And there's no bondage and there's no okay? Don't worry if you have that a lot. Because it takes time to get rid of it, believe me. Believe me, it does. Okay. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna do a building project. God's done deep work and healing since I wrote this book. I was actually afraid to read it again. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna just be honest. I don't, you know. I was afraid to read it because he did such a deep work in a 2 year period in my life, almost three. Okay. I was like, what if I didn't capture that in the book? I was terrified. And you know what? He did. And I'm not saying it's all encompassing. I'm not saying, oh, you know, it's all the revelation you'll ever need for the rest of your life. That would just be like heresy. And that would just, is that what that word's called? I've been called a heretic, by the way. I have been, but you know what? I'm okay with that. So I do have people that will say things like that. You know, I shouldn't clap over that, but I think it's funny. It's like, are you kidding me? Really? But you know, what are you going to do when people come across you like that? You're going to get all self-defensive and do you know who I am? And I teach the Bible and I, no. I mean, that's just, you know what? Count it all joy. That's just part of what happens when you start walking with Jesus is you get kind of, they called him the devil. The Pharisees called Jesus the devil. So, you know, I mean, that just comes with the territory. Okay. What was I talking about? Thank you. The building project. Anyway. It's in there, but I want you to know that theology, written process, can reveal things to us, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit that is going to make that real in your life. I'm not here to teach you in an intellectual, oh, that's such a great teaching, and oh, yeah, oh, I love that. Do you know how many people go into teaching and go into Bible studies? And there are so many wonderful, amazing, anointed speakers that we could go and we could listen to a wonderful message, and we are like excited and on fire. But you know what? That thing never gets in our life, and we never get access to it. Have you ever had that happen? And you're like, why? Well, we're just going to deal with the whys in here. And then you can go and you can take a million Bible studies and you can just keep growing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. I'm not telling you shouldn't do Bible studies. I believe me, I don't, or read your Bible. But if your filtering system is faulty, then it just doesn't even, it can't even be received. Okay. How long have I been going here? 9:30, almost an hour. Okay. Most of us need deeper healing at a level that we may have not yet been able to access. You thought you came in here because you were healed already, right? Oh, yeah. It's so fun. It's just a journey. And there is so much joy once you just really get into Jesus, like even in the sorrow and even in the suffering and even in the hard places, that he's got this resource called joy. We're going to talk about it a little bit in chapter two. And he is just good. Can I just say that? He is just so good. And I just want you to embrace the totality of him without allowing the fear of what you might need to deal with to overwhelm you. Okay. Are you going to have to deal with some hard stuff? Probably. Probably. You know, it just is. It just is. But in that, when you get to encounter the heart of Jesus, you get peace, you get comfort, you get kindness, you get gentleness, you get love. You get joy. You can be crying one moment and screaming for joy the next. And I don't know how to say that, but that is possible. And I believe that gaining that is so amazing that it is the prize of life. It's it. There is nothing you can attain that has more value than that. Nothing you ever face can ever take it away. Once you really learn how to walk in that. And I'm not saying trials and tribulations and hardships, but did you ever feel like all you're doing is managing all these one crisis to the next? And I'm just, oh, okay, now I got this and now I got this. And I mean, I live in the real world. I don't live in some little spiritual mansion all the time, 24/7. And I'm just, you know, hoity-toity, just, you know, I'm, you know, me and LaShawn talk about that. You know, we're cleaning up our doggies' messes and we're dealing with our screaming kids and, you know, we're just doing life, you know. I mean, we're not like, you know, sitting around in a spiritual factory just poisoning ourselves because we're just so spiritual. No, it's not like that. I just want to give you a realistic picture. It's not like that. You're not just going to run around and you're just going to be this amazing, you know, creation of perfection and everyone's just going to want to be next to you because you're so perfect. You know, I mean, in the messiness and in the perfection is really where grace comes. And then grace does start to refine, it starts to change, it starts to transform. It starts to create a whole new you. While integrating the old you at the same time. I know that's like, go home and think about that. Don't repeat that to your pastor. They'll say not to come back to the class, probably. Integrate the old you. We're supposed to die to the old you. Yeah, you are. You're supposed to die to your self-sufficiency. You're not supposed to die to your authentic, the authentic preciousness of who you are. That's, I just want to clarify that. You're not supposed to just dump your whole past. And just be like, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. It won't work. I tried. Believe me, did I ever try that? Okay, it doesn't work. Okay. I think you've heard that. So anyway, I've kind of talked about all this. So we're gonna understand love, we're gonna understand the spiritual realm, we're gonna understand grief, we're gonna understand the inner workings of growth, we're gonna deal with something called soul ties. Did you ever hear of a soul tie? Okay, but probably. One of the most important areas that we're going to deal with is the area of intimacy. Okay. That is, I would have to say that that's it right there. And we're going to deal with that fairly early in this process. And then eventually we're all going to be dealing with, is that still my phone going off? I'm just so popular today. I don't know who's calling me. I can't find a parking spot. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at it, but. It's grace. Like, what can I tell you? Building healthy defense systems. We're gonna learn intimacy, and then we're gonna learn healthy form of protection. Learning how to walk this thing out at a character level, and how we're gonna end it is we're gonna frame it for eternity. Because one of the things that, the only way I believe that we can deal with the life as it is to understand that the life as it is not the goal. It's not. It's not the goal. It's not the prize. This life is not the prize. Okay, that's hard. That is hard to do. When we live in a now culture, when everything seems to be about this life and what I'm doing here, that, and I'm going to lay it on the line for some of you is, what if your circumstances were a requirement for the greater glory of the kingdom, both in your life and in the lives of other people that he wants to use? He wants to use you to impact. I mean, what if those circumstances were the vehicle that he's going to use to access you in a way that he can't access anyone else? What if they're the gift of your life? What if? I'm not speaking into your life as though your circumstances can't change or the relationship can't be fixed. I don't want to put that on you in some form of despair. But I just want to suggest to you, what if he just shows up and maneuvers life through that? What if that's your thorn? What if that's the requirement for grace to be so overwhelming and powerful? Would you be willing to walk with that? Are you willing to just say, yes, Lord, you can have your way. Yes, you can. Let's pray. LaShawn, were you planning to talk today? Because I didn't have you. We could do it next week. Okay. I just totally phew. All right. We're gonna hear from LaShawn. In fact, I might have her teach here and there. I haven't told her that, but I'll tell her in front of you guys, so then she'll no pressure. She's got really an amazing heart. God has done amazing. We just get blown away. We're just like, this is crazy. And we're always like in the same kind of mode too. It's like, it's like he's doing the same thing. And I just want you to embrace people, even if it's in this group, if it's friends out there, those are gifts from God. When you have relationships like that, those are gifts from God. People that you can do life with. And not everyone is going to be very responsive to you talking about your intimacy cords. Hello. And your husband may not be very responsive when you talk about your intimacy cords, okay? Honey, I just want to show you this picture and see if we can. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you will in a minute. Let's work on this together. Don't do it. Don't do it. I just blew someone's world up over there. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I want to have fun. Let's not, I mean, we got to be serious, but let's have fun too. Okay, so I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I told you I want to do transactions. I really do believe that everything that God does is something he challenges us to. It's a choice we get to make because he's such a gentleman. His love is not something that's imposed by force. It's something that he allows. And so I want you to get comfortable because we're going to visit it every week with the idea of your holiest of holies, your sanctuary, your place where you connect with him and you know him and he knows you. And I'm just going to ask you to try to make that connection, to be someplace in your own experience right now where you are actually encountering him. We are not going to break up in groups. We're going to do that starting next week. Webinar, the same for you. We're not going to work up in discussion groups. Right now, today, we just want to invite him in and give him permission. I love it when he gives people something just very personal. Like he just speaks to your heart in a way that you know that only you would know. We're just going to meditate for a moment. And I just want you to focus on being in Him and being with Him. What does that look like? What does that room look like where you encounter Jesus? Is it empty? Is it scary? Is it heavy? Is it distant? Is it detached? You guys, He's it. He is the journey. I can't teach you anything or go through anything without Him leading the way. The only transaction today is connection to Him and to respond to Him. If He's seeking permission to do a deeper work in your life, and you know what? You have permission for Him to not want to do that right now. I just want to put that out there. It's okay. If for some reason He says, no, we're not going to do it, just make sure it's Him. Make sure it's not the enemy saying that. Connect with Him and give Him permission to enter into whatever needs to be entered into. And your transaction is just to say, okay. And if He doesn't change the circumstances, will you still let Him do that? I'm not saying He won't, but if He doesn't, is He the prize? Do you want Him to be the prize? Holy Spirit, we just invite you and are desperate for you to do the work that needs to be done. One of the things we need to learn is how to practice just connecting to Jesus without the formalities of anything assisting us. Bible is good, devotions are good, those are all tools. But Jesus is a person, and He just wants you, and you and Him together. And that's it. That you would just practice that throughout your week, just to be with Him. And that's it. Nothing else attached to it. You don't have to find Him through a Bible study. You don't have to find Him at church. You don't even have to find Him in the Bible. The Bible actually reveals Him. He lives in you. He's there. You just need to connect. Lord Jesus, we just pray over this time that we're going to have the next 22 weeks, whatever that, however that time breaks out to. And I thank You that You have practically brought people to our physical location despite the challenges of parking. And I just pray for favor that You would continue to do that. And God, I pray over the webinar that the barriers of the webinar in their location would literally in the spiritual sense be broken, and that they would be feeling and being exposed to the atmosphere as though they're actually here. And we know, God, that You live everywhere and You're not prohibited by any physical barriers. So for those that are going to join us by webinar, God, we just pray that connection would allow them the opportunity to receive the same benefits. And we just thank you, God. You are good. You are powerful. And you are worthy. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have time. I'm going to see if there's any questions by webinar folks. And also, you guys, if you want to stay, if you want to talk, if you want to pray, whatever you want to do, we just have a little bit of extra time because we're not going to break up in groups. And I'm not going to burden you with another half an hour of talking to you. So normally, I'm going to keep these classes. You can take it off the recording if you want. Normally, I'm going to keep these classes down to 40.